Praise the Lord. We have a theme here about God's Word, and we love to tell that story, don't we? Because we have authority behind that Word to change this world. And the title of my teaching today is Our Final Authority, God's Word. Today, in this unpredictable world of turmoil, opinion polls tend to be the final authority, how people think. And the funny thing about opinion polls is, it's very few people that are actually thinking. But when you become a loud voice, people start to listen to that. But I want to encourage you today that God's Word is the final authority. The Bible is our only source of faith and practice because it leads us to a godly life. We must have a basis to form our beliefs and then take action on them. That's why it's our only source of faith and then practice. It's not just a word that we hold. You know, this is a great Bible, but I can't hold it on my head. I have to apply it. I put it in my heart, and then I apply it. We want to be, in the end, we want to be heroes of faith, standing faithfully on the Word of God and the inspiration of the Spirit in our lives. You know, the book of Acts is all about the heroes, all those believers that stood faithfully, and we're still continuing that book. It hasn't ended. Christ is coming back. Until that time, each one of us have a chapter to write. Our lives are just tremendous. We love to sing this song, "This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through." But if our thoughts and actions are swayed by the media, the internet, and not based on the authority of God's Word, we will not see God's perfect plan for each one of our lives. Praise God, we can depend on the unchanging Word of God. That's what Malachi 3:6 says, "I am the Lord that changeth not." God has no double standards. He doesn't say one thing today and take it back tomorrow, change his mind. Jesus represented the Father. He was the same yesterday, today, and forever. So our theme today is 1 Thessalonians 2:13. And here's the King James Version. I'd like to read to you the NLT. It says, "Therefore, we never stop thanking God that when you received this message from us, you didn't think of our words as mere human words." These aren't just human words that are in this Bible. "You accepted what we said as the very Word of God," which of course it is, "and this Word continues to work in you that believe." God's Word is intended for power, and it has authority. When someone has authority, they also have the power. Look at a principal of a school. When your child has a problem, you go to the teacher, because he's the teacher's responsibility over that classroom. And if you don't get anywhere there, you go up to the next. And that person will have the authority to make things change. Hebrews 4:12 says that the Word of God is quick and alive. It's powerful. It's not just words of men. God's Word. What did he say in the very beginning? "Let there be light." Those were words that were spoken. And he's given us the authority to use those words, just as Jesus was. Jesus said he had that word in the depth of his heart. So he said, "I can of my own self do nothing." Right? So why do we think that we can do things of our own? We only want to do the Word of God. We've all experienced in our past doing our own thing. Where did it get us? Not too far, probably frustrations, but not as great a response that God would have. But in John 5:30 it says, "I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own, but the will of the Father who sent me." And we follow, how many times in the manifestations and in the songs that we see that we are following the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of my greatest, most favorite verses, well, I have a few most favorites, but one of the greatest is in John, the end of John, it says, if all the things were written, what Jesus did, that the world could not contain the volumes. Well, he admits in his word that, well, he couldn't do everything, so he commissioned his apostles and his disciples to speak the word. We're going to look at that. because that's our, we have that same commissioning. And I think, I hope that will really help you picture yourself in a greater avenue of serving and just living the fullness of what God's provided. Let's turn to Luke chapter 7. We're going to look at authority. What is God's word is our final authority. Luke chapter 7 is about a centurion. A centurion was a Roman officer, and he heard about Jesus and his healing, and he had a servant that was sick. So he sent word to Jesus that his servant needed healing. And we're going to start in verse 7 of chapter 7. And it says, well, let's go to 6. Then Jesus went with them to go to heal this man. And when he was already not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying to him, Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy that you should enter into my roof. Therefore, I did not even think myself worthy to come to you, but say the word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man placed under authority, I'm using the New King James, having soldiers under me. And I say to you, say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned around and said to the crowd that followed him, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, no, not in Israel. This man understood what authority was all about. He could say, Al, you go do something. Daniel, you go do this. And people followed because they knew they had respect and authority. So he knew that authority that Jesus had. It's too bad the Pharisees didn't know it, right? Let's turn. So that's what authority is all about. You say it, and it will come to pass. So he knew that all Jesus had to do was say, be healed, and his servant would be healed. Because he heard the stories. He heard about the healings. Look at Luke chapter 4. And this is when Jesus came out of, after 40 days, he received the Spirit. Then after 40 days, he was tempted of the devil. And we're going to look at verse 4. It says, but Jesus answered him, saying, the devil's tempting him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Jesus was tempted in all points, yet without sin. He never doubted his Father's words. You know, that's a sin, to actually put something else before what God's word says. You know, he says, be anxious for nothing. Well, if you're anxious, technically that's a sin. He doesn't want us, God wants us to completely trust in his word. He never doubted the Father's word. He responded to the devil, it is written. And what happened? The devil left. Jesus had spent 40 days in the Spirit, hearing from his Father. He was prepared for the attack. Well, we've been prepared for the attack as well. Let's look at Luke 4:14. It says, and Jesus returned in the power of the Holy Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out through the surrounding region, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by God. Verse 16, so he came to Nazareth, and when he had been brought where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And this was quoted from Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who were oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. in your hearing. It's a New King James. So I bore witness to, so all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is this not Joseph's son? They in Nazareth was where he was born. They saw him as the son of the carpenter. But Jesus stood up, showing them the authority. He quoted the word as this day in him is the scripture fulfilled. Now in Isaiah 61, verse 2, it ends with, and the day of vengeance of our God. He did not speak that, and that's what they didn't like. He stopped literally where he needed to be because he was showing them who he was. And yet, where were their eyes? Their eyes were blinded because all they could see was the human, Joseph. And then let's go continue on here. Verse 28, the religious leaders. So all of those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath and rose up and thrust him out of the city. And they led him to the brow of the hill on which their city was built, that they might throw him down over the cliff. He gave over the cliff. Then passing through the midst of them, he went his way. They had no authority over him. He was going to give up his life. No one was going to take it from him. So he just walked right through the crowd. And here he exposes to them, shows them the word of God and who he was. They were into the law of Moses. That's all they could see, that law of the flesh. And did the law of Moses work? No. We needed, the law was meant to show us that we needed something more. Jesus had to fulfill the law, and he did by giving his life. Our lives are so important because we follow in the footsteps of our big brother, Christ Jesus. He made the Father known, and we make our Lord known to the world, that they can accept the Father's invitation to confess Jesus as Lord. See how important our lives are? We have the authority. We have Christ in us. So if that was Christ's mission, that's our mission. Isn't that amazing? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because I've been anointed to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind. Each one of us have been given that authority and that purpose. In James chapter 4, verse 7, it says, we all know this verse, resist the devil and he will flee. But if you look at the beginning of the verse, it says, therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. We can't do it on our own. And we know that believing is not how often we put the word on or we read the Bible. It's we have the faith of Jesus Christ and we receive that and we walk out on it. That submit is a loving obedience to the one who has, to the will of another. God wants us to submit to him and then resist the devil and he will flee. That's how we can submit. Many Christians are taught doctrines developed from a part of the scriptures and not the power and authority that we have to speak the words of life to others. Can you see how important the scriptures and demonstrating the scriptures, how important this to study and demonstrate the scriptures is in our lives? Christian Reformation started with the scriptures alone. Martin Luther said, sola scriptura, only the scriptures, not the doctrines of men. And that was what was going on. They were abiding by the doctrines of men. And that's the same thing that the Pharisees did. It's the word of God that has power. The word of God is the authority of our lives. Jeremiah 15:16 says, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. The word is the greatest diet plan we can have. We put on that word. We see how blessed we are, how much God wants us to rely on him, how much we can give. We want to be doers of the word, not hearers only, but give, do the word. Well, we've been given the authority to speak God's word. Jesus gave us that authority to receive the power of God through the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You're welcome to turn to that if you'd like. This was the last words that he spoke. Acts 1, 8 says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." You shall receive power. We are powerful people, sons of God with all power. Tzogwats, that's who we are. We have power, and we need to walk out on it. Don't let anyone talk you out of it. Maybe you haven't been to a Bible school. That's probably a good thing. These places that teach people what they want them to know instead of solo scriptura, the Word of God, only the Scriptures. Well, what are some of the ways we can exercise the authority of God's Word in our lives? How about the authority to stand against Satan? Well, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Can you see how powerful this is? How our lives, God needs us. He needs us. Well, He doesn't need us, He wants us. He wants us to share the Scriptures because it's life and it's power. Ephesians 6:10, it's, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, if we can stand, take up the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Who takes up the armor? We do, right? God has given us the power and authority to stand against Satan and his destructive works. He's provided the armor, but it's our responsibility as a believer to put it on. You know, take a minute in the morning before you get out of bed and put that armor on. Be cognizant of the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. How much I need to have that part of the armor. I kind of finally realized that slippers are kind of a nice thing. I've always been barefooted. And it's very cozy. I feel very cozy when I have my slippers on. Well, let's feel cozy that we have the Word of God, that we can put that on. Because we're going to think something, right? All day long we're going to think about something. Let's think about the Word of God. And if we have to, write it on a 3x5 card or something as you're walking around, or put signs all over the place. But our authority is to stand, and it is written is the thing that fights the adversary. But we have that whole, we are fully equipped to stand against the adversary. But we have to do the standing. We have to put it on. The second thing I want to share is we're seated with him in high authority. Look at Ephesians 2. We're going through a few verses in Ephesians here, and I'd encourage you to read the book of Ephesians this week. Powerful stuff. It's who we are. Ephesians 2:4 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love, which he hath loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, has made us alive together in Christ. By grace have you been saved, and raised us up together to make us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding great riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus." We have been raised. We are seated in the heavenlies. When Jesus was raised from the dead, he sat down at the right hand of the Father. We are there with him. So we have authority. That seat is a seat of authority. So maybe if you want to put a name tag on a chair and say, "Here's my seat of authority," when you feel like, "I don't know what I'm thinking right now," sit down in that seat of authority. Sometimes we need mental images. Really see it in our minds, what's going on. How about we have the authority to act as new creations? We are a new creation in Christ. We're not part of a remodeling program. Taking that old and putting a little extra room in there to have the Christ in us. We are a new creation. Look at the Apostle Paul. He said that he forgot those things which are behind. The old man is behind us. We have to put that new man. We put that new man on. Let's look at Ephesians 4:21. I'm speaking the word of God. That's what I want you to see today. It's the word of God that is our authority. The more we speak it, there's no doubt in our minds what's going on. Ephesians 4:21 says, where is it? If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. We, each one of us, you, it's you in here. It's what we individually do. We put that on, and we are created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. True righteousness, that's who we are. We put that on. We have to get rid of those old thoughts, that old condemnation or anything that happened in the past, and we are a new creation. We have the mind of Christ. We have the authority of Jesus Christ. We're powerful, right? But here are some things that we need to work on and be reminded in our minds. And then the last thing I wanted to share on is we can minister and walk from a point of authority. God's word, God's power is his word, and he is upholding all things by the word of his power. You know, the stars don't fall down, the sun doesn't stop shining. Everything that God has put in place is going to stay in place until Christ comes back. Then things are going to change. We need to learn to minister and walk in from the point of authority. So I'd like you to turn to Luke chapter 9. And we're going to look at, well, I'll just read it. Luke chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. It says, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. So Jesus sent his 12 out two by two, and then later he sent the 70. And they said, even the devils saw that power. So I want to share with you, I think this is a powerful area in God's word because it involves each one of us. We have received that same power to be witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's a series on TV called The Chosen. And it's trying to replicate the word of God, showing a human side of Jesus and with his disciples and everything, and how there's a lot of people that will see our lives before they see the scriptures. So this is another avenue that is going out to the world for people to see the life of Jesus Christ. And I would like to share with you about 6 minutes of a segment. It is season 3, segment 3. And it's Jesus commissioning his 12, giving them the assignment. And I think you'll be really blessed to see the reactions and some of these things, the fears that they have. Oh, I'm supposed to go out and speak? And then one of the apostles says, but what do I say? And he says, you say what you've heard from me. Did we say the word of God? So I think this will bless you. So, Jeffrey?
Could you just repeat that one more time? I'm sending you out two by two, proclaiming as you go, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick. cast out demons.
How soon are we talking about here?
There's that word again.
It's Simon. He has a wife.
I'll get to that, Simon.
Hold on.
About that.
Heal the sick, cast out demons.
While you are on this mission, I grant you this authority. Someday, you will have it all the time.
Was that a ceremony I missed?
This is it.
This is your training.
Don't feel any different?
I don't need you to feel anything to do great things.
With all due respect, Rabbi, we've only just begun as students. We're not nearly qualified enough. Why would you need us for this work?
He doesn't need us. He wants us.
Thank you, C. Very good. John, if I needed religious leaders or qualified students for my ministry, I wouldn't have chosen... Well, you get the point.
Can we get back to the part about healing the sick for one second?
You will take nothing for your journey except the staff. No bread, no bag, no money. Not even Salome's food. Wear sandals and do not bring an extra tunic.
We can't even bring a change of clothes?
Even the wandering cynic philosophers carry a second tunic.
Yes, they do. And I'd like to distinguish you from the cynics. They also carry beggar's bags for people to put gold and silver coins into. And you will not do that. You received without paying. Now give without pay. Whatever town or village you enter, find out who is worthy in it and stay there until you depart. And if anyone should not receive you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet as you leave that house or town. Do not waste your time.
You said if anyone will not listen to our words. What words exactly? What are we supposed to teach?
Anything you've ever heard from me.
I've only ever heard the one sermon. You heard the best one, anyway. I mean, don't get me wrong. They're all so good. Uh-huh.
That message was not just for the thousands that were there. It was for all who will hear it, from now until the end of the age. Amen. How will they know it, you ask? Question. Thanks for asking. You will tell them. And the places you will go are places I will soon go. So you are preparing the way for my arrival and helping ensure that more people are ready to hear the good news. The miracles you'll perform on God's authority will prove my ministry.
Suppose we hit a bad streak and several towns in a row reject us, maybe for days. How are we to eat?
What if it gets bad? Like it has with John. Listen carefully, all of you. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul.
So, you're saying we could die?
There will come a time when this will become far more difficult. When persecution is an ever-present part of your ministry. When that time comes, you will follow in my footsteps and you will know what it actually means. Give up your life. More to teach you about that. In the meantime, this journey will not come to that.
They're going to come back.
Rabbi, I have a concern. You said you're sending us out two by two.
Yes. The women will stay here in Capernaum. They will help support the ministry financially. They will also minister to the tent city outside the city walls. And Zebedee will be responsible for their safety. Matthew has also selflessly donated the use of his previous home, which will serve as the new place for them to stay.
I still can't understand this.
You want us to go out there. No defenses. No food. No shelter. Just go out into strange land.
He said not to be afraid.
Fear is not a thing. You just stop, Andrew.
I'm going with Z then.
I may be the most at risk of all of us.
Great.
But whatever happened to trust?
Everybody, calm down. If you have a real question, ask it one at a time.
I have a question.
That was fast.
More of a concern, actually. I know I'm new. But Rabbi, I'd like to return to what you were saying about not bringing food or clothes and relying on those we minister to. Forgive me. But we cannot rely on everyone equally. I've developed some ideas on ways we can generate income to sustain our ministry in a reliable way.
I appreciate that, Judas. I do. But for this journey at least, I want you to learn what it means to fully rely on your Father in heaven, as well as those around you and those whom you serve. And for food, Big James. And for your life, John. This is what it means to follow.
Very good. So that was pretty interesting, huh? A lot of stuff in there. But I think the heart of it is that these are people. We are people. The apostles, the disciples, they were people, and they were given authority. What did they speak? The words that Jesus spoke to them. They didn't have a Bible like we have today. They had what they saw in Jesus. Look at all that we have. We can go back and see what happened. And signs, miracles, and wonders followed them that believe. So to fully to trust in the final authority of God's word, we need to trust God instead of people. We need to believe in what God says and not what the adversary says. And we need to believe in what God's word says instead of circumstances. If your body isn't telling you, isn't acting right, you speak to it and you trust that the word of God is true. Determine in your heart today to make up your mind to live by faith, not by sight. That's what it's all about. We live by faith, not by sight. Now, there's a lot of things we don't understand, but we do know that God is faithful and that he's given us all that Jesus Christ has, the authority, the power, the mind, the everything that we need so that we can carry out his ministry. And so I encourage you to continue in his word, walk out on his word, prove his word, and just talk to God on what he wants you to do, because he has a ministry for all of us. And there's people, friends, family, people we don't know that need to hear the word. And we have the authority and power to demonstrate it, to give it to them. So, Father, I thank you for your wonderful word, for your love and grace on our lives, and how you have called us out and given us power and authority to speak your word, to put the adversary under our feet, to stand in the heavenlies, to stand with power in the armor of God, to love one another and to trust you in all that we do. I thank you for the days ahead, weeks, months, years, that we can be a glory to you and that we can truly show people who your son is and help them get born again. So I thank you for healing for each one of us from the top of our heads to the soles of our feet, for our sound minds. And I thank you for joy just bubbling in our hearts as we walk through this new year with new hope and your word of God, which is always new every morning, your mercies. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Woo.